May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It was such a joy to see so many of you who are sitting here today, who joined us on Thursday as we renewed our ministry together here at St. Peter's Church, with the welcoming of yours truly, your new rector. For those who were unable to make it, we missed you, and it was incredible. And I want you to know that we did good. We showed up well, and we exercised our ministry in some of the best ways I could have imagined. As your rector, I myself feel renewed and invigorated and rededicated to the task of exercising my ministry with you. This place was full of people we know, people we don't know, and people we might like to get to know better on Thursday night. We had travelers from as far as Canada, Tennessee, and a mythical far-off place called the 8 o'clock service. It does exist. All of us were worshiping God together under one roof. The clergy came and they behaved, and the bishop didn't hit me with his crozier. So it was amazing. We were good. I didn't get the hook. I was glad that my friends and family and former parishioners caught to come and participate in worship here, because they got to participate in the joy that is being the church in this place. And you were a blessing to them. They were able to pull into a parking lot in a city in Milford, surrounded by wonderful things in terms of the vibrant life that is downtown. The restaurants were in full swing. It was nice and dark and crisp on a beautiful fall night. And those who came here for the first time experienced the hospitality of having a place to park, because we parked further away to create space for them. They found room in the pews because our ushers were warm and friendly and greeted them and welcomed them and helped them find a seat. They're greeted warmly and able to find a bright, beautiful, and warm sanctuary with incredibly beautiful stained glass windows to admire and to get a sense of being in sacred space. And as we look around, we see the light of the world filtering in through this glass, and we are able to take advantage of this beauty of holiness, to be in a place that's set apart for prayer, one that feels very well prayed in ever since it was consecrated in this particular building in 1851. They were shown hospitality and an attentive readiness that I think Jesus is getting at when he describes the parable of the bridesmaids in Matthew's gospel. Visitors here found, and I think will continue to find, disciples here who are prepared and eager to share the gospel and care for the community. And that's our purpose, isn't it? To share the gospel, to prepare disciples and care for the community. My family and friends were particularly effusive in their joy about this place and our ministry together, in part because they get church. You know, I've got three clergy in the generation above me. I was doomed from the start in terms of thinking about what I would do with my life. And they've served in places all over the country, and my friends have as well. And they come from parishes that are large, parishes that are small, parishes that have endowments, parishes that are struggling to get by, parishes that are friendly and warm like this one, and parishes that are part of what we like to call God's frozen chosen, where you might not know you were welcome, but, you know, it's vaguely discernible. And each of them reached out to me in the past few days to share that they're delighted in our joy together. The feedback I hear from them is that we are a church community that is welcoming, easygoing, and a place that truly does feel like a family in the best possible way. And it's appropriate that we gather here together in this space when we think about the way we come together for our sacred meal of a little bread and a little wine, and reflect on the hospitality that was shown to our guests on Thursday as people ate good things and were filled and sent back out into the world with a sense of joy about the church. It's appropriate today that we're talking about a wedding feast. It's a time in which we celebrate a new relationship. I do have some problems with Matthew's gospel, though. I'm not sure Matthew or Jesus, as he's written in Matthew, really get how weddings work. You know, we don't have a bride in this wedding. And as far as I know, all the weddings I've been part of, the bridesmaids are hanging out with the bride, and she's got a central role. So, you know, we'll give Matthew a pass on that. I'm also not sure how the ritual with the lamps takes place and how you have those lamps. But what I like us to do as we engage in this parable is not engage in those details, because those are like furniture in a house and they can kind of get moved around and we can find that distracting. But the overall message of this parable, as communities have received it, is that it's about being prepared. It's about being prepared for the bridegroom, for Jesus to come, because the bride is the church. That's us. And what it means to be prepared, what it means to have oil in our lamps so that we could be in this for the long haul, that's something we celebrated together on Thursday night. We celebrated our preparedness, our willingness to see, not just in the weeks ahead or maybe a year or two at a time, as this community has had to do for years, but to think longer, to envision what God is calling us into in the years to come, and to cast that vision with hope, to have our lamps full, because we don't know when Jesus is coming. There's that old bumper sticker that says, "Jesus is coming, look busy," right? We don't know when that's coming, but that's part of the faith of the church, is that we believe he is. And in the meantime, it's our job to be a family, to be the family of God, to be the church, as we engage each other, as we engage our world, and as we show the world a glimpse of what the kingdom of God can look like. In the 6 months in which I've been here, I have heard time and again that this place feels like a family. And I've come to really appreciate that, because not every single one of us comes from a place where family is always an easy thing. As we come up on Thanksgiving and we envision those strategic conversations about who might bring what and seating charts at Thanksgiving's dinner table, we know that being a family can sometimes be a little tense. Sometimes it can be outright harmful or toxic. And so for us as a community to embody something healing about being a family, about being brothers and sisters in Christ as beloved children of God, we get to create in a new way what that means. Time and again, I've heard things like, "When I was new in town and feeling all alone in the world, I came to St. Peter's and found a new home. When I lost someone close to me and needed a place to connect with God, I came here and I found some healing. I found community. When I was in spiritual trouble or trying to stay sober for one more day, I was able to come to this space and catch a meeting. When I needed a place for my kids to learn more about Jesus through baptism and through Christian education and through youth group, I was able to bring them here." These stories of being welcomed, of being fed, of being clothed, of being equipped to do this work we call being disciples, reminds me a bit of what we heard from a young man thousands of years ago who said, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." That is the work of this place. We share the gospel through hospitality, through creating sacred space here in the heart of the city of Milford, hosting those who need a place to bury their dead, a place to celebrate a baptism or a wedding, or just try to stay sober for one more day. We prepare disciples through those many Bible studies and opportunities to serve, through our formation programs for our children, for our youth and for our adults, as we seek to grow as disciples, as followers of Jesus, the master teacher. We take those learnings and we move them out into caring for the community by offering what we have, our space, our love of God, our knowledge of the gospel, and our willingness to live in that light. We share our food and we share our pledges. We share our income as a community of faith, to further the work of Christ through the church. There's a story. Forgive me. I've been doing a lot of talking these weeks. It's a story that comes from the Sufi tradition about faith and about sharing. And it goes a little something like this. There once, a long time ago, was a great hunter who lived in a village. And that great hunter was renowned for his ability with a bow and arrow, and he was able to provide for not only for himself, but for his family, and not only for himself and his family, but also for his neighbors in that village, through his gift of being able to hunt and provide meat for the table. As he went out to do that one more day, he saw something amazing. He saw a fox hobbling through the woods. And he'd always come to appreciate the fox for its gift, because the fox, as we know, when it comes to that expression of crazy like a fox, there's that understanding that a fox can liberate itself from almost anything, even willing to chew its own leg off to get out of a trap. But this fox wasn't just missing one leg, it was missing two. As you can imagine, a fox with two legs might have a hard time finding a meal. And so this hunter, glimpsing another hunter, another creative, capable hunter in a fox, was wondering how it might survive. How is this fox with two legs even alive to this day? And then out of the corner of his eye, he saw something amazing. He saw a tiger dragging a deer into the woods, having eaten its fill of the deer. And then, having eaten its fill, it dropped the deer and left it for the fox. The fox is able to eat from what it was left of this tiger, what it was able to share with its fellow creature. The hunter was amazed, and he gave thanks to God to say, God, thank you for sending me this message. I've been so foolish to think that I can provide on my own. And I know, Lord, that you are trying to show me that you will provide for me. Thank you for teaching me to be faithful to you as I seek to make my way in the world. And so what God did, what this hunter did, was he stopped hunting. He laid down the bow and the arrow and simply went into the woods to pray and to bear witness to what this tiger and this fox were about in their relationship. And so day after day, he watched the fox meander out of the woods, and for the tiger to leave a portion of food for the fox to eat. And together, the fox and the tiger had enough. But the hunter started to feel a little bit weak. He had faith that God would provide for him, and yet that wasn't quite happening yet. And day after day, he got weaker and weaker, and so did his family, and so did his neighbors. Until once in the middle of the night, he heard a voice. And it was the voice of God, and it said, Dear hunter, how foolish are you to think that you are the fox? Who told you that? You are the tiger. It is your job to provide the food for your neighbors. It is your job to go out and to do what you have been called to do, to provide for your community, to feed yourself and your neighbors. You have been given these gifts and this strength. Use them with the gifts I have empowered you. And so the hunter returned to what he was called to do. That's how community works. Sometimes we are the tiger. Sometimes we have that ability to go out and to do our work, and there's enough left over where we can share, because we know that among us there is enough. There's an old stewardship joke that goes a little something like this. My brothers and sisters, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is we have all the money we need to do this work. The bad news is it's still in your wallets. Right? Sometimes we're the tiger. And yet sometimes in the church we're the fox. Sometimes we're barely getting by. Sometimes we can hardly imagine how it is we're standing at all. And it's in this context of being both the tiger and the fox that we, as God's beloved creatures, can care and share for each other. We know that there is enough. And it's through that act of stewardship, out of that act of giving, that we're able to make sure that this is a place where the lights are on, where the floors are clean, where we can worship together, where we can gather and give thanks, where we can gather and mourn, where we can gather and grow. The work that we all do together out of God's bounty, participating in that together, allows us to do incredible things, not just in our own lives, but out in the world. It fuels us to be the church, not just here, not just in this space, but in the city of Milford, in our county, in our state, in our world. It's out of gratitude that I thank you for being in the church, for participating in this moment, for gathering, for worship, for outreach, for Bible study, for formation, for fellowship, and for the joy of being beloved children of God, for being family. It's out of gratitude for God for serving me, for bringing me to serve among you in this ministry, that I give back with my own monthly pledge. It's a way in which I feel like I have done the spiritual work of giving back as quickly as I can. As soon as I get it, I give it back a portion of my income so that I know that I've done my work. In some ways, it's a spiritual practice that's as simple as making the bed. When I was young and kind of in a funky place in my life, when I was in seventh grade and struggling with the changes in my life and transitions and a bit of depression, I knew through some coaching that if I made the bed, that would at least be one right thing I did that day. And for me, paying my pledge is like making the bed spiritually. It's a way in which I know I've done something that will help not just my own growth, but continue the work of the church to remind me of who I am and whose I am and what I'm called to do. And after 6 months of being here and doing this work among you, I am so grateful for the gift of this and watching the ways in which so many of you step up to be the church, to feed the hungry, to reach out to the shut-ins and those who are lonely, to share our joy of being followers of Jesus together and to create a better world out there. The way you step up has encouraged me to step up and increase my pledge by 10% this year. It's a place in which I am able to operate, and I recognize that that's not all of us all the time. But it's out of that gratitude for what God has done for me that I'm able to give back. Because what we do here matters. It matters to me. It matters to you. It matters to our community. And it matters to God. Our job is to have those lamps full of oil. We're in this for the long haul. We celebrated a renewal of our ministry together, recognizing that until Jesus comes again, we are to create the kingdom of God as best we can on earth as in heaven, asking for our daily bread. And for all of you who participated in that, thank you. And for those of you who are considering participating in this way, go for it. You won't regret it. In the back, you'll find a pledge card that looks a little something like this. It's on the back table. You may have gotten one in the mail. But if you're new here, we may not have tracked you down to stuff your inbox with one. And so if you didn't get something in the mail, you can grab this. In it is a letter from me talking about my own journey with stewardship. In it is a pledge card, and in it is an envelope that you can mail back at some point soon. We're hoping to build a budget knowing what we can do together by Advent, which is our new year. It's a new season of our ministry together. And so I thank you for being the church. Because it matters to God that we're called to make sure that we are prepared, that the vulnerable are cared for, the sick are visited, the hungry are fed, that the stranger is welcome. God calls us to be prepared for the kingdom of God, building it here and now, sharing in our daily bread, and creating that kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. There's so much to do in the church. Frankly, it's too much. We can't do it all of the time. But I couldn't be happier to be in and amongst that struggle with you as we do the best we can with what we have. I could not be delighted to be among my brothers and sisters in Christ, my new family, to work with you to build the kingdom of God. It's a beautiful thing, and with God's help, we'll continue that for many days to come. Amen.